All right. All right. Okay. I don't have the most common name in the world. My name at birth is Evangelos Petros Tsaroukas. My parents' names are Peter and Debbie. My parents come from a little country in the Mediterranean called Greece. Yeah. They moved to Canada. They decide to have children. And they ask themselves, hey, how can we make our little Greek children fit in with the Canadian children? I know. We'll name them like diseases. That's what we'll do. Tsaroukas? You have Tsaroukas? Put some cream on it. Put some cream on it. You have Bacillus cacopopulus? You're not going to poo for a month? Take any Greek name, 50 vowels, 4 consonants. That's a Greek name. That's why you don't see so many Greek hockey players in the NHL. You imagine them calling a penalty on a Greek hockey player? Toronto Maple Leafs penalty, awarded to number 22, Themistocles Yorgos Papakonstantinopoulos. 2 minutes for having too many vowels in his last name. Imagine the name starts at the ankle, goes up the ass all the way around. An advantage to having a Greek name, I was playing Scrabble the other day, found out my last name's worth 3,000 points. Yeah. I hated it, man. I just wanted to be like the Canadian kids. I hated that serene moment when the mothers would call their kids in for dinner. Because, I mean, it was like, Jeffrey's mother would call him in. It was like, Jeffrey. Come on in, honey. Time for supper. Bobby's mother would call him in. Bobby. Come on in, honey. It's time for supper. Your favorite, Kraft dinner and cheese. My Greek mother would come out of the house. Rollers in her hair, wearing a robe, holding a broom, looking like a Viking warrior. Evangelos Petros Tsaroukas! Get it out before I kill you!
Part of the Greek culture is we love food. That was some stand-up comedy to kick off this week's broadcast of the Alagos Radio, the special holiday edition of the Alagos Radio, the Greek-American radio program, which comes to you on 6 radio stations across 3 continents. I'm Michael Navradakis, and today we started off our broadcast by hearing a live stand-up comedy performance from a Greek-Canadian comedian and actor who we will be featuring on today's program and who we will soon be speaking with, Angelo Tsaroukas. Born in Canada, Angelo has made a name for himself both in a world of comedy and also on a big screen, having performed stand-up comedy performances in front of audiences all across the world and also on television, and also having appeared alongside some of the biggest names in cinema as well, including Robert De Niro and Denzel Washington. And on today's show, and for this week's edition of the Diálogos interview series, we will be speaking with Angelo Tsaroukas in a conversation that will focus on his comedy and acting careers, on how his upbringing in a Greek immigrant family in Canada influences his comedy today, about his recent performance in Greece for the first time, and he will also share with our listeners his message about Greece and everything the country is presently experiencing. And following the interview, we will hear some more comedy from Angelo Tsaroukas, and then the rest of today's special holiday broadcast of Diálogos Radio, including holiday music and music in general that will allow us to end the year on a high note. This is the final new broadcast of Diálogos Radio for this year, and we'll get it started with this week's edition of the Diálogos interview series and our interview with comedian and actor Angelo Tsaroukas, coming up right now here on Diálogos Radio. The Diálogos interview series, our weekly segment featuring interviews on matters pertaining to Greece and the worldwide Greek community, coming up next here on Diálogos Radio.
Joining us today on this special holiday edition of the Galagos Radio is a Greek-Canadian comedian and actor who we got a little taste of earlier in today's program. We're speaking with Angelo Tsaroukas, who is speaking to us from Los Angeles. Angelo, thank you for joining us today.
A pleasure, Michali. Nice to be on your show today.
To get us started, share with us a few words about how you first got your start in comedy and what led you to become a comedian and a performer.
Well, you know, Michalis, I think if you come from a Greek family, and chances are in the diaspora, where most of us are outside, if you work for a family business, you probably have the right tools to become a comedian. You know, when I was a kid, I remember, I was born in Montreal, Canada, and I grew up in Ottawa, which is the capital. My dad had a restaurant. So at first, I would interact with the customers who came into the restaurant. And, you know, there's a lot of interaction. The nice thing about Greek families is we celebrate a lot of the traditions like Christmas, Easter, and it was a good wealth, weddings, funerals, because we're so passionate about that stuff. I was always intrigued by how much material was there. You know, when I do my show, at one point I'll look at the audience and say, look, I wish these were jokes, you know, and I think people listening understand that. It's like, I think when you comedy, the Greeks coined it best, comedy is tragedy plus time. So being in school, when I was about 17 years old in Canada, my friend says, Andrew, you're always telling jokes. Why don't you get up on a variety show? I did it once in high school on a dare, basically, and I was hooked on it.
What are some of the moments growing up in a Greek household in the diaspora? What are some of these moments that you draw upon when creating a new comedy today?
Wow. There's a lot of them. You know, like I said, you know, I remember growing up with the Canadian kids, and I'd go to their houses, and if they did something bad, their parents would give them a timeout. And I think as a Greek, I found this funny because my Jeffries would look at me and say, do you get a timeout when you do something bad? I go, no, we're Greek, Jeffrey. It's hard to have a timeout when you're having a blackout. You know, so there's a lot of things that are different. I think especially Greeks and most people who are European. I grew up in Canada, so my friends growing up were Italian, Japanese, Indian, Jamaican. I mean, but we all had one thing in common. Our parents would give us the beats. And I think when you're a kid, you don't like it so much. Going to school with a different lunch was different. I would go to school with, you know, mela macarona and, you know, moussaka and all kinds of things. And all the other kids were eating peanut butter and jelly sandwich. But in the end, the kids wanted to trade with us. You know, I would have dolmades and tara moussalata. I remember my mom putting it in the Tupperware. And the kids would try it and going, wow, this is so tasty. And, you know, as Greek kids, we wanted to try bologna and peanut butter. So I never got to eat it as a kid. So later on in life, you draw upon those experiences you have growing up and you talk about them. And it's funny, I started off as a mainstream comedian. So when I actually started talking about the Greek stuff, I found a lot of people related to that material because everyone experienced the same situations as I did.
Take us through the process of creating new material or creating a new performance. I'm sure many of our listeners have wondered how this works. What is the process like to think of an idea and then to take it all away to finally going out on the stage with it?
Well, for me, I travel a lot. And I'll give you a good example. Christmas is coming. So if you want to take me as an example, I'm married to my wife is Armenian American. They're very much like Greeks in the same sense. Nobody can make up their mind where we're going to have Christmas dinner. So it's a really big deal, which isn't a big deal. Then my mom's in Montreal, so she's coming after the New Year's. Allo capello, as we say in Greek, another hat. I have a 15-month-old daughter now. We buy her toys, and now when you come into my house, all the stuff in the kitchen's on the floor. There's so many, you know what I'm saying? There's so many situations. And I'll take an idea, for instance, something that happened. Like my mom, you know, I'm speaking to my mom and I said, she goes, where are you going? You know, I said, you know, mom, I'm going to Vancouver. She goes, oh, make sure you bring clean underwear. So I know it sounds dumb, but it's like, mom, a grown man. I'm married. I have a kid. You know, yeah, well, make sure you have clean underwear. Usually when I get to the border in Canada, they're going to say, Tsarukas, where's your passport? Okay, pull your pants down. We got to check your underwear because your mom called us. So I think it's, I will sometimes, Mikhaili, I will sit there and listen and observe and then report. That's what comedians do best. They listen, observe, and then report. We most times see things that other people don't see, or we see quirkiness that's kind of funny. You know, like when I was in Greece, I was just there like 3 weeks ago, and we were in Monasteraki, and we wanted to get in a taxi. And I asked the guy, I said, we're going to Sigrou. And the guy wasn't going there. So he says, no, I'm going to Kolonaki. And I looked at the guy and I go, aren't you a taxi driver? He goes, yeah. Well, we're going to Sigrou. He goes, well, I'm not going there. Which for in Greece may be normal, but for the rest of the world, it's like when you get in a taxi, normally a taxi takes you where you want to go. In Greece, you got to go where the taxi driver is. So I think people, when you say that, it's funny because it's a idiosyncratic kind of thing that I will look at it going, and instead of it being the opposite way, it's kind of this way. It's the same way people in Greece don't observe non-smoking signs. They're there. They see them. They still smoke. I said to the one guy, well, it says no smoking there. He goes, yeah, there it says no smoking. So if you go over there where the sign is, don't smoke. But here, you can smoke. It's about 12 feet away. And, you know, it's funny. I find that funny because it's in the literal sense that, yeah, on the wall it says no smoking, but over here, smoke.
Recently, you were in Greece, as you just mentioned, and you had your first ever performance in the country. What was it like performing in Greece for the first time?
I was nervous. I was excited and nervous at the same time. It was part of a documentary we had done. And one, I've had the fortunate, I've been very fortunate to travel the whole world and do comedy in Australia, New Zealand, Asia, everywhere, England, South Africa, the whole works. The one place everybody kept asking me if I'd ever done comedy, and the answer consistently, they would say to me, have you ever done comedy in Greece? Have you ever gone to Greece to do a show? Because to them, it was a natural fit. And I said, no. And that's why I was so happy when we did the show at the Michael Kakoyannis Theater in Tavros in Athens. It was a little bit of an experiment in a sense that I didn't know. I knew I had a fan base in Greece, and there's a huge fan base in the diaspora, but I didn't know how it would translate. And I did the show in English, sprinkled with Greekisms, if you want to call them that. And I was very happy that we had a sold out show in Greece and that people came out and supported it. A lot of people, expats were there from Australia, United States, Canada, England, South Africa, Germany. And they had a lot of the mixed in with a lot of the Greeks. And everybody was like, I thought everybody kept asking me, did you do it in English? And I said, yeah, and everybody understood it. And I was very pleased that the jokes translated and they were able to get it. Because I suffer from what's called Greek Tourette's sometimes. I'll think of something in English and say it in Greek, or the vice versa. I could say it in Greek and English. And I think a lot of us, people who are listening, will understand that. So I was very pleased. And the people at the Kakoyannis Foundation were so awesome. We did a workshop. I got to see a lot of aspiring and very talented Greek comedians when I was in Greece. And I think it's a movement that's happening now. I know they've had stand-up comedy for a while there, but I saw a big mixture of women and men doing comedy, and I got to meet a lot of them, and it was just as rewarding for me as it was for them. So to conclude this, it was a lifelong dream. You know, it's nice now to know that I, in my heart, went back to my ancestral home and did a show. And now I can tell people proudly, look, I was in Greece, I did a show, and and people would ask me questions like, you know, how's the debt crisis? How's this? It's fine. I mean, you know, I'm aware that there's something happening in Greece, but I always try to be part of the solution, not the problem.
We are speaking with the Greek-Canadian comedian and actor Angelo Tsarukas here on Dialogos Radio in the Dialogos interview series. Now, Angelo, in addition to your comedy, you're also active in the world of acting. Tell us a bit about your acting career.
It's interesting. I've been, when I lived in Canada, I got to do a lot, because I really have that, I guess, mid-America look. I don't really look Greek at first. You know, nobody was speaking to me in Greek when I was in Greece, although I speak Greek. And I've been lucky to work on a lot of films, mostly character roles. Most recently, I teamed up with actor and writer Fred Stoller, who's from, you know, Seinfeld and Everyone Loves Raymond. He wrote a film called Fred and Vinny. It was directed by Steve Scrovan, and I got to play the role of Vinny D'Angelo's complicated guy who's an agoraphobe who chain smokes and buys all his food at the dollar store and carries a baseball card collection. And the film is about relationships, and if you guys get a chance, well, it's called Fred and Vinny, and I love the role. I love playing that role, and most recently, we just signed a development deal with CTV, with Vince Vaughn's production company here in Los Angeles for the show's called The Angelo Show. So I've been lucky with that. I tend to primarily concentrate a lot on comedy, but at the same time, Michali, I studied acting when I lived in London, and especially in Toronto Actors Network and Los Angeles, where I live right now. And I've been lucky. I've been able to work on some huge productions. More notably, in the past, I've worked on The Score with Robert De Niro and Marlon Brando. I got to work on John Q with Denzel Washington, James Woods, The Recruit, Al Pacino, Colin Farrell. It goes on, Sylvester Stallone and Avenging Angelo. So, I mean, there's a lot. I was able not only to study the craft, but be on set and work with some of the biggest names in the world. And that's been a lot of fun. And for me, it's always a learning experience. You know, I think an actor will tell you, you're always learning as an actor. Same as comedy. It's a type of craft where you're happy to get the work. But at the same time, you know, you're on set of John Q and you see Ray Liotta and Robert Duvall doing a scene as a Chicago police captain and fire department. And they're wonderful actors. And I just thought it was so cool. So it's a good mixture of both. But I'm excited about my sitcom called The Angelo Show. And I got my fingers crossed that they're going to love the pilot and that we're going to get picked up for a regular series.
And from what I understand, you're also working on a new project called Back to Sparta as well. I believe you hinted at it actually earlier in your interview. Tell us about it.
Yeah, Back to Sparta is basically chronically George Tsoutsalas, who's a wonderful filmmaker from Toronto, Canada. I've been friends with George for a long time. And, you know, my life changed when I lived in Canada before my first marriage was failed and my business, a lot of things that happened in my life that, like a lot of people, I guess, you know, failed marriage, failed business. I was bankrupt and I started my life over again. And then I rebuilt my life. And then ultimately, I knew George from Ottawa and Toronto. Then I moved to Los Angeles. He liked the whole idea of the story. And like I said, the journey in Back to Sparta was my dream to come back to Greece and do at least one show before my father died. In 1998, he always said to me, you know, how come you never go to Greece to do a show? And I thought, good point. And I wanted to, and I'm so happy we did. And my dad's from a little place called Daphnis, Sparta, Laconia, Peloponnesos, which is just about 12, 15 kilometers south of Sparta. And it was wonderful. I got to go to my dad's village, and we chronicled the end of this documentary in Greece because I felt, ending in Los Angeles is like an atypical story. Going to Greece and fulfilling that journey that my dad always said to me. He goes, why don't you go back to Greece? And I felt there was an itch I hadn't scratched, and I was happy that we went. So it kind of chronicles, it's just my story, Michali. It chronicles my life starting in Canada, then going to America, and then going back to Greece. And funny, my father left Greece in 1949 after the war at 15 years old to come to Canada because, you know, there was devastation and poverty. And like a lot of Greeks, they had to leave. So it was kind of fulfilling for me to be able to go back to Greece and do this. You know, it was kind of like my mom was happy I went. I think a lot of people had doubts that we would go there, you know, because it wasn't easy. But like everything we do, I find Greeks, we always have to do things the hard way. But then when we do them, we feel very accomplished by them. Because if it's just easy, then everybody would do it. I always find the harder something is, the more challenging and more interesting it becomes. So the film is basically chronicling my life, the journey of me losing everything, getting into this crazy business of show business, and fulfilling a lifelong dream of going to Greece. And I heard the editing has been going good on it. It should be some mid next year, I think they're going to have something about it.
And do you have any future plans to come back to Greece to perform again?
I would love to. I mean, now we planted a seed, right? Because stand-up comedy, I've always admired, you know, I got to meet Lakis Lazopoulos, who's a very funny man, very intelligent. I went and saw his show in Sindagma. I always found that, you know, even like Hari Klin, who I grew up listening to, and all those great Greek movies, there's a movement now in the arts community, and I saw it in Greece firsthand, that, you know, like America and Canada, you have a lot of comedians who talk about politics. My take isn't really on that. And going there, I wanted to see how it would work. And I was pleasantly surprised because I was very nervous. I didn't know I can do the show in that's why I called the show Gringlish, you know, because it's in Greek. I think in Greek and speak in English. So Gringlish was a natural fit. And there's been some talk about coming back to Greece. I think the Greeks were impressed that I would go that much effort to come there and do the show. But it was a wonderful experience. And, you know, I love Greece and I love the people. I love the way they live life there. I think there's a lot, you know, the rest of the world and Western media, they focus on the wrong things. They're always talking about, you know, debts and crisis and austerity measures. Let me tell you, it's no different in North America or anywhere else. I think personally they pick on Greece because Greeks have, you know, historically stood up. We're non-conforming people. And when threatened as a whole, in my opinion, I think that's when we stick together the most. I admire that. I feel I have a lot of that in me. And that's why they're always, I think they never, I said, there's a lot of other places they could pick on. And I thought as an artist outside of Greece, it was nice to come back to Greece and do the show, and I would come back in a heartbeat. And a lot of other artists and actors I've met and talked to in LA and Toronto, New York, they all talk. I said, look, guys, you all talk about we should do something for Greece. I was there. I went. I did it. I did the show. We taped the show. I did the documentary. We did it to show the world that, yeah, maybe there's a couple of problems there, but it doesn't mean. I said, one guy said to me here in LA, he goes, hey, how can we help Greece? And I said, go to Greece. If you want to help Greece, go to Greece. Forget Cuba and forget Dominican Republic and Hawaii. They're nice, but it's not Greece. And I told them, you can go to a lot of places in the world, but I'm telling you one thing, there's only one place like Greece. That's the way I feel about it. And I've always worn my heart on my sleeve about it because I'm proud to say I'm Greek. But to me, also talk's cheap. You know, Michalis, I find that talk's cheap, and I think put up or shut up. And my father, it's funny because even doing stand-up comedy, you know, I wasn't a lawyer or a doctor or a savvy businessman, but my father gave me the best advice. And he said, look, you know, if this is what you want to do, do it, but do me one favor. And I said, what? He goes, just do it good. Don't do it half-ass. And I thought, you know, it makes sense. He goes, if you're going to do it, but don't just play with it. Do it right. And I feel that, you know, I did it right. I just came to Greece. And I think even the film crew was so amazed about being Athens is such a great city. And we were in Sparta and all these other places. And I know I sound like an infomercial for Greece. But really, I mean, I, you know, before I was a comedian, you know, I was a travel agent. I used to sell Greece all the time. And I would tell people, I said, you know, you go to a lot of places, but if you want to live life, you got to go to Greece at least once, I think. My mom's from Lesbos. She's from Mytilene. And I took my wife on our honeymoon to Santorini. We were in Naxos and Paros, and then we went to Athens. I mean, it's wonderful. And I think too many people, Michali, they focus on the negative, and I don't. I focus on the positive. And I think that's just my attitude in life. You know, I just went to Greece and did it. I even think the Greeks were a little shocked by it. And they're like, hey, you know, and one guy said that we learned something from you. You know, and I think you got to be a little nuts to be in this entertainment business anyway. So it paid off.
Absolutely. So finally, and in wrapping up, where can our listeners find out more about you and your performances and what you're working on?
Well, my website is a good start. It's, you know, funnygreek.com. And then if they can also go to tsaroukas.com with a CH. I can say it to a Greek audience, they get it. Because when I say it to another audience, they can never pronounce my name. It's Tsaroukas, TSAROUCHAS. And my Twitter is at Ange Tsarouk. So it's AngTSAROUCH. And what do they call? They told me, what do they call the ats? How do they say it in Greek? They told me it was really funny when they told me.
It's papaki.
Papaki. Papaki. Now, to me, papaki means a little motor scooter, right?
Yes.
So a papaki motor scooter at, Ange Sarut. But I like the papaki. I like that. When they talk about papaki, at first I thought duck. No, that's a papia. And then I thought papaki. I remember a little papaki. It's a nickname for a little Vespa or one of those things. So yeah, that's where they can find me. And then just, you know, if they go online, you can find all kinds. Usually Google works too, I find. A lot of people want to get a hold of me. Just go to Google. Just Google it up. But pretty cool.
Well, Angelo, thank you very much for joining us today on the holiday edition of our show. And best of luck with your continued work. And best wishes also for a Merry Christmas and for a very Happy New Year.
Thank you, Michali. Same to you and your family and to all the listeners. Yalava potepetheni. You know, Greece will never die. Not in our hearts, anyway. Thanks, Michalis.
When you travel the world and you look like me, everyone thinks they know you from somewhere. I was in Scotland having a cigar at a cafe in Edinburgh, looking cool. And I could see these little Scottish girls staring at me like little chipmunks from behind a tree. They're like, and they got the courage and they walk up to me and they went, "Aye, excuse me, are you the singer of Meatloaf?" I'm like, "No, I eat meatloaf." Then I got in a taxi cab in Scotland. And the cab driver made his assessment of me. And he looked at me and he goes, "Aye, big man." He says, "Are you from New York? You look like one of them Soprano fellows, aye? Are you from New York?" I said, "No, I'm from a small town outside of New York. It's called Canada." And then he said to me, "Aye," he said, "Canada, America, same crap." This coming from a Scotsman. So I thought I'd have some fun. I got in the taxi cab. We drove around Edinburgh and I said, "You know, I love Edinburgh. I love Scotland. I especially love what the English have done with this place." There's a big difference between Canada and America. Canada knows where Scotland is. That's the difference. Something's funny. People always ask, how do comedians come up with material? How do you come up with material? Sometimes the comedy gods put the material in your hands. I was traveling, I was doing a tour in Australia. It's in Australia. Got the customs. Gave the guy my passport. Guy looks at my passport, looks at me. He says, "Do you have a criminal record?" So I looked at him and I said, "I thought you didn't need one to get in here anymore." And he looks at me and he goes, "What do you think you are, a comedian?" "Won't you tell me a joke?" I go, "I just did." He goes, "I have a joke." I go, "Yeah, what is it?" He goes, "Room 2. Oh. His joke wasn't so funny. So being Greek, normally I like to obviously eat Greek food. I found a Greek experience place in Dubai, United Arab Emirates, called Greek Food Experience. I thought, I want to go get some souvlaki. I walk in. There's a guy behind the counter with a name tag, Muhammad. Okay, that sounds Greek. So we went to the counter, go, "Yeah, can I have the souvlaki dinner, number 2? So Muhammad turns to the cook in perfect Greek, and I'll translate, says, "Fiaxena souvlaki me patates yeto chodrone," which is fix the souvlaki and fries for the fat. So I look at Muhammad, I go, "Hey Muhammad, for an Arab guy, you speak really good Greek. And when Greeks get busted, they do this." "You Greek?" I'm like, "Yeah." "You speak Greek?" I go, "Yeah, I speak Greek." Even when there's no one around, they always do this. They want to make sure it's a secret. "My name's not Mohammed, it's Michalis. I was born in Athens. It's okay. Free souvlaki for you. It's okay. Only Greeks will pretend to be Muslims to sell chicken souvlaki. But there's one phenomena we have. I'm a very superstitious guy. I was raised this. In Greek, we had this thing called mati, the evil eye. All right, now let me explain to you the evil eye. A lot of cultures have it. Evil eye is when someone pays you a compliment, but doesn't mean it. Okay, and what happens, this phenomena happens. You get fuzzy eyesight and you get dizzy. And now what happens, there's a dehexing of this. One day of the year at the monastery in Greece, you have to learn the dehexing. They put olive oil in water, it evaporates. You gotta do the cross and spit. And then it takes away the curse, and then you start yawning and it goes away. This is the truth. So I'm on a flight going from Toronto, Chicago, American Airlines. And I'm sitting in the flight, and all of a sudden, before I got into the flight, I saw a friend of my mother's. And the woman always asking me questions. When are you getting married? Why don't you get a real job? What's going on in your life? Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then she says this to me. It looks like you lost weight. I haven't lost weight. I'm turning into a planet. What are you talking about? I. So I get in the airplane, I sit down on my seat, and I start the dehexing. Remember the dehexing? This woman's looking at me going, sir, what's wrong? What's wrong? And all I could think of was, sorry, I have the evil eye, my head's gonna explode. All this crazy woman heard was evil explode. Bing, hits the button. They come over, they get me, they go, sure, you have to get off the airplane, you're freaking out the people. I'm in the middle of it. So I get off the airplane, they're looking at me, they're going, okay, what the hell's going on? You're freaking out the passengers. I said, look, it's Mati, the evil eye. A woman said I was thin, but I'm not thin. I got in the airplane, I got dizzy, and I had headaches. And what happens is that when somebody pays you a compliment and they don't mean it, that's what gives you the eye. And you have to go to Greece at the monastery, you put olive oil in the water, it evaporates. You do the cross and you spit, and then that's what happens. And okay, let's go to room 2. Why not, huh? Thank you so much, Montreal. Thank you.